You're going to want to put on your tinfoil hat for this one. It's Mikey J on KGUP Presents.
Do you know who I am? I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Mothers, lock up your daughters.
It's time to see Mikey J. Mikey J.
Are you fucking with me?
We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
How you doing? This is Mikey J, and you're tuned into KGUP Presents. In case you're not aware, I had an awesome conversation with Julia of Cosmic Peach Podcast, and I wanted to make sure you got to hear it right here. We talked about one of the most passionate topics, and that is Flat Earth. Now, some of you, like the people I used to know personally in Los Angeles and most people I've known throughout my entire life, would scoff to this idea, but you have to realize I was a skeptic for my entire life. In fact, I get into how I transitioned from being a NASA fan and space lover to something completely different. Now, I don't want to spoil the entire show. I do, however, ask that you have an open mind, and perhaps my experience and my journey will help give you a different perspective. I don't want to try to change your mind. I just want you to have an open mind and just, you know, look at the information to yourself, look into it. Do some research. If you have any questions, I mean, I'm an open book. You can just email me. You can find me on Telegram. You can find me on Instagram. And just send me a message. I mean, if you're honestly curious and you've had this like doubt in your gut that something was wrong about this world and you just couldn't put your finger on it, which is what I had for a lot of my life. I just didn't know where to look. And this information just kind of like fell on my lap several times, and it was just like I couldn't ignore it any longer. But first, before I turn on the show, I wanted to give you an update. I've been working behind the scenes. I was recently on an episode of Monday Night Master Debaters on the Great Deception podcast, and I'll be returning to Cosmic Peach podcast in October to talk about Anne Heche, Anthony Bourdain, and Paul Walker. I'm also going to be on a show called Deborah Gets Red-Pilled. So I'm excited to be a guest on that show. And I've been inquired with another show. I'm just waiting for the invitation. If you are interested in having me on your show or if you want to be on my show, feel free to reach out. I mean, my website is KGUP106.5.com, just /contact. And I will get the message directly. Oh, going back to Cosmic Peach podcast, I'll be on her show in October to talk about Anne Heche and Anthony Bourdain and Paul Walker, because I discovered some very interesting evidence that we just decided to turn into a full episode. So be on the lookout for that. I'm also working on a chemtrail special that I'll be posting on this show. I've postponed the episode because through my research, I discovered some new information. And I also am going to interview Matt Landman of the documentary Frankenskies. So I'm pretty excited to have him on the show. I want to thank Julia of Cosmic Peach Podcast for referring me. And I want to thank Maura Bob of Hidden in Plain Sight for also referring me to have Matt on my show. So with that said, sit back, slip on those headphones, turn up the volume, relax, crack open your favorite beverage while we take a trip around the world. Be sure to click that subscribe button and leave me a 5-star review and tell someone about this podcast, and I'll see you very soon. All right.
All right, everyone. You are listening to Cosmic Peach Podcast. I'm Julia, of course. And tonight we have Mikey J from KGUP Presents. And he is so awesome. And I went on his show, and it's like he said, we became fast friends, probably because Sagittarians are just magical and that's all there is to it. But Mikey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be on your show. And I mean, I've been listening to you for, I don't know, I think it's been 2 weeks now, and I've just been nonstop listening to your show. I actually knocked out, 32 episodes in a matter of like a week and a half.
Oh, tops. God, that's so unbelievable. That is so unbelievable. And thank you, first off, for listening to my voice over and over and over again, because I know that can get, you know, trying. But I do want to ask you.
Sure.
The flat earth thing is something that I have never covered on my show. So this is awesome because it's exclusive to your episode and to you. Mm-hmm. And who better than Mikey J to do a crash course for us on flat earth. So how do you feel about that?
You know, that it's such a long, long story because I was very conflicted for a very long time because I've always been a space junkie. Since I was like a small child, I loved Star Wars. I loved every single science fiction there ever was. Even when I was like in high school, I wrote a book about my fantasies of being, you know, like in space and like this commander and, you know, all this stuff, just living the life of like Luke Skywalker, but it was me, you know? And so when I was teaching high school or not, eighth grade, we showed a video by Vsauce and, you know, he was explaining how the trajectory of the sun and like, you know, the sun is flying through infinite space at 1.3 million miles an hour. And we're in the solar system is spinning around the sun at, you know, 500,000 miles in the Milky Way. And then we're flying around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And then we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. And I was just thinking to myself, none of this really empirically can be measured or verified because we can't go out in the space. We're told that we have two Voyager satellites that were launched in 1977. And I'm like, you know what? There's no freaking way a camera would be able to send back information or send a photo, definitely not a photo. And what they tell us is that NASA will receive data from any of these machines or cameras or whatever, and then we interpret it and then piece it all together to create an image. In fact, the University of Ohio, they own a satellite, and they can't, you know, it just orbits Earth. It's not that far out. And they're not able to just, you know, turn it on and view the Earth. And what has to happen is that NASA has to interpret the data, and then about 2 or 3 weeks later, then they get the images of what they requested. So not at any time can they just look through the cameras. So it's like if the cameras are just facing downward on Earth, you know, if it's 250 miles outward, it should be no problem to view this information. But no, they have to go through this whole process. And and it's like, oh, that's very fishy and suspicious. Why? And then, you know, a few years back, I think it was 2014 or so, when Tesla launched the Roadster out into space. And then they had this like whole image of like a fake astronaut sitting in the vehicle. And the car just kind of like panning to the left, and you know, we're seeing the Earth and then the curvature and then like the sun the sun. And they never promoted it. They just like showed it the one time, and then it was like the story just completely went away, because all these things about the car itself, you know, if it's, you know, deep space is a vacuum at like 10 to the negative 17 torr. I mean, it's impossible for anything to hold its integrity. So like tires, any kind of plastic, anything that isn't vacuum sealed shut to the same specification of space, it's just going to implode on itself and blow up. And so stuff like that, I've kind of like debunked, and like, you can't do that in real life. You know, they have a vacuum facility in Ohio as well. I wanted to go out there and actually see it for myself, but they just weren't open for visitation. And because I wanted to see the whole plant for myself, because they can't even get close to what space the vacuum system that they claim is out in outer space. But yet, you know, the astronauts are out there all the time, and, you know, they do these spacewalks, and nothing ever happens. It just, you know, it's ridiculous. Like I used to have my students watch the ISS 24-hour feed, and, you know, during work time, they would do, like, their work and, like, study or whatever, and I would have it in the background, because they would play, like, this, like, really mellow, like, you know, Mozart type of music. And so it was relaxing to watch and listen to. And even my students, like, noticed, like, hey, Mr. Mikey, I thought this was live. And I go, yeah, it's live. And they're like, well, we just saw the same clip. So these astronauts would just kind of, like, take their hooks and just transfer from hook to hook to hook, never doing anything scientific or anything repairing or replacing anything. And it's like, and you can hear sounds of what sounds like they're in water. And that was another, like, revelation, like, oh, it sounds like they're in water. But they claim that in space, when there's a vacuum, you can't hear anything. And so sound does not travel in space, so they claimed. But that's another thing, that they're constantly retracting stuff that flat earthers kind of, like, bring to the light. And so they'll delete stuff off their website constantly. Like ion propulsion, like they say that we can travel up to 24,000 miles an hour through ion propulsion, but yet they can't replicate that on Earth. So it's like, how the hell do you know that it works if you can't replicate it on Earth? And nothing that they claim about space and, like, the spinning ball, I'm just drawing a blank. Whenever you, like, you're on a the centrifugal force, when you're right. spinning something and everything goes outward, you know,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like the propeller is on a jet engine, everything, the housing is so strong that the blades don't fly off because
right.
the centrifugal force is so strong. But then we're expected to believe that the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, but the gravity goes inward instead of outward, which holds mm-hmm. all the water together. And yet we can't replicate that at all. In any scenario, no scientific experiment can reproduce that magic of gravity.
And you know what? And I'm just going to break in really quick, because it's funny that one of the examples I've commonly heard when someone is talking about flat Earth is mm-hmm. that we're spinning so fast, we can keep all the oceans locked into, you know, our, mm-hmm. I guess, what would it be? Our atmosphere, whatever. It's mm-hmm. all gravity.
Right.
But a butterfly can fly.
Yeah.
Like, you would think it would be spinning so fast and so hard to keep the water where it is that you would just be glued to the planet. You know, if it's that dense and heavy, you would just be, like, splattered if it was powerful enough to keep the oceans on. So what do you think about that? Like, what are your thoughts on that, about gravity and, like, the lie of gravity? And
you know, I think weight and density has a lot to do with how just things naturally work. I mean, I don't think there's some magic gravity just pulling us down. There's no pull factor. It's just, everything is just more dense than another. I've been slowly learning about electromagnetism and frequency, because, I mean, if you think about bees and, like, just birds, hummingbirds, they all kind of, like, emanate a frequency that helps them levitate, because a lot of things can fly that don't make sense, like the bumblebee. Their wings are so tiny, but yet they emanate this sound frequency that you can hear, and they're able to just go wherever. And then, like, some of the helicopters, they emit a frequency. Drones, they emit a frequency. And even planes, I mean, they have the stronger the frequency, the faster they can travel. And of course, you know, planes are, like, a whole other thing about fuel and the propellers. They actually just push. There is really no use of, like, any fuel except to take off. And that's mm-hmm. that's a whole, like thing that you can get into.
Yes. And I'm dying to pick your brain. So let's just say I'm an idiot. It's not that hard to imagine. I'm an idiot. I know nothing about flat earth. And I'm coming to you and I'm saying, like, are you crazy? This is caveman stuff, what you're talking about. We know the earth is round. They've proven it, whatever. We can see pictures of earth. We can see, like, when we're in an airplane, some people claim they can see the curve. Like, what would you say to someone who is thinking we're absolutely bonkers right now?
You know, I approach everybody differently because I just kind of like feel how they look at other things. Like the moon landing hoax is very easy to introduce to the fact that we've never been to the moon and all the sets. And then you look at Stanley Kubrick's life, and especially towards the end, he did make some, you know, before he died, he admitted that he hoaxed the whole moon landing. And so that's a great introduction. Every person's different, because people just easily get triggered. They don't like their world to be turned upside down and be told that what you know is a lie. I mean, it took me a long time. In 2017, that was 2 years, 3 years after I was questioning like the whole trajectory of the sun and all that stuff. And in 2017, while I was doing Uber, I picked up a guy from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, and I was taking him to the airport, and we saw this giant light that stretched across the sky. It was huge, and I looked up and I said, "Is that aliens?" And he's like, "Oh no, that's the Falcon 9. He just scraped it along the firmament." And I looked through the rear view mirror and I was like, "The firmament, yeah, this is in the Bible, that's real." And he said, "Yeah, that's real. We've never been to space." And he was just so candid and like so like matter of fact. And then I was like, "All right, you got to tell me more." And so like I turned off the radio and he just started just letting it out, like as if he just couldn't hold it in anymore. He just needed to tell somebody.
Oh my God, that is so awesome. That is a priceless moment. That is absolutely priceless. So for those of us who don't know, what is the firmament?
It is the barrier between here and what people think is space. But like in the Bible, it says that when the firmament separated the waters from the waters, what that meant is that there was a barrier. Other religions or languages, it's defined as a vault or an expanse, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading and in what language. So it means we're in a vault. We are locked into whatever this world is, and we can't escape in our corporeal form. So what I believe is that once we pass on, we can go through the barrier. People just get trapped and don't know that they can leave, especially if they don't have never learned the Bible. And then they've been, you know, religious deniers their entire life and just believe science, you know, and I think these people are trapped, you know.
Right. And so there is something that I found when I was personally looking at flat earth is the Van Allen belts, which basically would cook anything that tried to get out. Basically, right. And just, you know, disintegrate. So when you think of the Van Allen belts, just that alone would make you think there's no way we could get out. What is it, radiation?
That's what they say, yeah, radiation. I think the belts are really just the layers of the firmament. Whenever the rockets or whatever they shoot up there, I mean, something does fall down. They've gather this material called ringwoodite, and it's kind of like magnesium, hydrogen, and oxygen, and it's just a solid form. And when it comes down to Earth, it becomes this like some kind of like magnesium silicate, so it looks like a rock. but in its purest form, it's very blue. It is also part of the mantle of the Earth. So whatever is at the top is also at the bottom. The furthest we've gone down is like 7.78 miles, and that was done in Russia. And I think the furthest that we've gone down in the ocean is 7.78 miles as well. So
you think we bottom out? Do you think that's just where it ends?
Right.
Now, how deep is the Marianas Trench?
It could be that deep. 7.78 miles. It could be that deep. Yeah. I don't know.
And it just makes you think, like, why was it ever changed? Because everyone knew the Earth was flat. And then it was like, okay, no, it's round. Mm-hmm. And that's what we believe to this day. But do you know why it like, who was behind, like, nope, it's not flat anymore. That's a bunch of, like, backwards caveman medieval thinking. It's actually round. And then the way that they prove this is that the sun is round and the moon is round. So why wouldn't our planet be round? Yeah, go ahead.
I think all this information is very recent, within the last 150 years. History has been slowly been changed to reflect that, oh, we've known that the world was round for 2,000 years, which is complete bullshit. I think a lot of it, I mean, in 1900, there was an article in the Chicago Tribune that you could be prosecuted for misinformation, for talking about the globe Earth in the classroom. So people were going to jail. I have a clip somewhere. I could find it. It's in my Telegram, but, cause I post everything that I find, especially I'm very fascinated with maps. Like, that's a whole different thing. And cause we've been lied to about where we live and the shape of whatever their continents are. You know, and that's been a practice that the military has always done. They've never wanted the opposing countries to know exactly what this world really looks like. And so they don't, I mean, like in World War II, I mean, there was over 41,000 maps that were distributed because they didn't want opposing countries like Japan to be able to find us easily.
And oh, so, for God's sake.
Yeah. And so this misinformation has just been going on forever. Even the map that's behind me, that's probably not correct as well. We don't really know. I mean, there's other people that theorize that the moon is actually a map of Earth and we're only in one section of it because the Earth, that's, I mean.
No, yeah. I'm sorry. I just got to break in. That's so freaking crazy. And it makes me wonder if, like, that Pangea thing is true, that we were all just one land mass and they've drawn it that we're all broke up. Like, do I sound like an idiot right now? Or do you think there's something to that?
That makes sense. Someone had, I don't know how true this is, but someone had broke it down because, you know, in the old days when people would, you know, chart the waters, they would use the stars and they would use the moon. They would know exactly what time of the month it was because the moon would have a certain pattern. And we only see one side of the moon. Someone showed me the other day a moon app, and I scrolled through it, and you could scroll and see the entire moon for an entire month. And you only see one side of the moon. And that's another thing that's an easy, like, segue into flat Earth is like, oh, we only see one side of the moon. So that means that the moon's not spinning, so we're not spinning either. And you can see the moon all throughout the day in most times of the year.
I can.
Yeah.
I see it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Even like on my way to work, on my way home from work, I can see it. Like even if it's like broad daylight, I can still see the moon. And what I also find is interesting is that the moon is cold. And you can tell when you're in the moonlight versus like if you're standing in a shadow, because if you step outside of the shadow, it's actually colder.
Yeah.
So it like the moon is, that's a whole nother, but yes, I'm with you. Like that's clearly obvious. We only see one side of the moon. So what are stars then?
I think stars are really just part of the whole map. I mean, I think there's significance and each star and like the wandering stars, they have meaning. you know, they, some people claim that those were like certain angels, or they represent planets that reflect like your zodiac and all that stuff. And I think all of it is true. Because there's multiple meanings of the Bible. There's multiple meanings for the stars. It's not just one interpretation and that's it. So whatever thing in life that you need, nature provides it. And so, like, if you're charting the waters, you're going out to you know, to go to another piece of land, I mean, you can be guided. And what that person, that's what I was going to talk about earlier, is that someone had mentioned that the moon is really a mini map of the world. You know, just like in a video game, when you have like a map that just kind of follows you throughout the game, you really kind of know where you're at. That's exactly what that is. And so you use the stars to kind of chart where you are. And we just have to learn what parts of the moon is reflective of like the landmass underneath, you know, underneath our feet. And so.
No, that is super interesting. Yeah. Do you think that there's going to be like a supernova, anything like that, is going to kill us all? Because I know a lot of people have been predicting like this coronal mass ejection that's just going to fry us all and get rid of electricity, and like that'll be the end of us, and it's the sun and blah. Do you think anything like that's going to happen?
No, I don't think so. I think whatever happened in like before 1850 or beyond that, because I do think that there was evidence of like a catastrophic event that kind of engulfed the entire world. Because there is evidence that we've been buried at least 40 feet deep. And flooded, mm-hmm. No matter what city you're in, no matter where you go in the world, there is evidence of we've been buried. And so there definitely has been something that's happened. And some, you know, there are theories based on that. Like, we did at one time have technology where everything in the world was just connected, and all these, you know, people talk about ley lines and this energy that we all had access to, because we're surrounded by energy. You know, it's like Star Wars, where we're surrounded by the Force. It's around us. It binds us together. You know, that's real life. I mean, almost everything that's in that movie is real life. And we have the Empire that controls everything, and we're the rebellion, you know?
Right.
And
yes.
It's pretty nuts that everything, I mean, there's truth in movies, lies in the media.
Yeah. And it's funny because I've been watching Men in Black, which is, you know, movies from my childhood that I paid no attention to other than like, that's a cool movie with Will Smith. But watching them back as an adult is crazy, knowing what I know now and those little tidbits they were putting into all three of those movies.
Right.
And it, besides the part where they say the Earth is round and they're all coming from space and like whatever, there are some other little intricate things that they throw in there that you're like, oh my God. And it just gets you to thinking. But I do want to ask you a question, and you could tell me to fuck off, but you know how they say the pyramids of Giza, the 1, 2, 3, the big ones, they align with like Orion's belt, but how they figured we were tilted or something like that is they weren't exactly lining up with the stars, but they figured at one point they did exactly line up with the stars, but we had been like tilted off the axis. Some weird phenomenon occurred and it shifted our position to the stars. Would that be an argument for ball Earth, or do you think that was, what do you think about that? Maybe the Pangea thing, like we split up, we moved, we changed, like, what do you think?
Well, I mean, scientists use math to back up their lie, and you know, you can use the math to make things work. I mean, you can make, and you can calculate anything to make it, you know, mathematically work to whatever that you need it to prove. So I think it was just a way. I mean, just like Einstein. I mean, he spent, I don't know how many hours and years that he tried to create, to make the Earth move, because before him, the Michelson-Morley experiment proved that the Earth was stationary, that we weren't moving at all. And he was basically commissioned to prove them wrong. And so, you know, part of this whole calculation was making us believe that we're on its like 23.5 degree tilt axis.
Uh-huh.
And so it explains how we see the same patterns of the stars and how it could work for, you know, they say 2,000 years. And then we would, then the North Star would change its position to another star or another point. But we don't know for sure because our lifespans are very short. We can only live in a maximum of 120 years. And so, you know, but there's the cube that's in Mecca, which was built in 63 AD, and it's been pointing at the North Star ever since. And then
okay.
And then the Guidestones, the Georgia Guidestones, they were pointing at the North Star for the last 40 years, and it's never changed its position. But if we were moving in five different directions, that would be impossible. We would see a different star probably every day.
And but we don't.
Right.
Right. No, that is so interesting. I do feel like a lot of stuff points to the stars. A lot of the old temples point to the stars, a lot of things. And it might be, like you said, these are our guiding, you know, they'll never change. They'll always be there. We can always find them if we need to search something out. And so it does make me wonder, going back to like the firmament, do you think it's water on the outside?
Yeah, if you have a strong enough camera or telescope, you can see this ripple that'll go across the whatever you're viewing, and it looks just like a wave, and it's just clear water, and it's the clearest, purest form of water in between here and the moon.
So, oh my God. Yeah. Doesn't that freak you out a little bit?
It, you know, when I was moving from Los Angeles to Dallas, Texas, where I live now, and we were in New Mexico, and the elevation is like super high. I haven't looked it up to see how high it is, but when I was looking off to my right, the moon just looked like it was not right next to me. Like it didn't look that far away. We didn't have any reception, but I was talking to my wife cause she was in the car ahead of me and we had CB radios, and I was like, look at the moon. Mm-hmm. Does it look like it's 248,000 miles away? She's like, no.
It feels so much closer.
Yeah.
And it probably is so much. It is so much closer. And it does also make me wonder, like, if we're on a flat plane and this everything we see is flat, is even going up into an airplane, you should not be able to see a curve. Some people say they see a curve. I think it's the windows, how they're made to make it kind of look like a curve. But it does make me wonder if they're lying to us about the shape because they don't want us to realize like how much like they can hide for, like if that came out that the earth is flat and they've lied about that, everything goes into question. Like you can trust nothing at that point. And that's like the big, a lot of people say, why do you even care if it's flat or if it's a ball, whatever, it's not going to change your life. What changes is if we came to that realization that they've lied to us about the shape of our planet, everything else goes up in smoke. Right. Everything else is a lie. Science is a lie. All this stuff, it's all a lie. We've never been to space. So then they got to, you know, come up with how we fake the moon landing, how da, 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 da. They have so many things they'd have to backtrack and explain just from that one point.
Right.
And if the earth is flat, we're not moving at all whatsoever, and we're surrounded by water, do you think these people that stare at the sun, and they always tell us, don't look at the sun, it'll burn your eyeballs out. Like that's a whole nother lie in it, in and of itself. So we have the flat earth. We're in like the firmament. Our stars don't move. We don't move. Mm-hmm. We have the moon. It's way closer than we think it is. And then we have the next part, which is the sun. Will it burn your eyeballs out to look at it?
Nope. It takes time. Like if you want to, like I sun gaze, I can't do it all the time because I have to get up at 5:30 and I have to be at work at like 7:30 or 7 o'clock. And on the weekends, I get up early and I'll sit on the deck and just kind of like look at the sun. And, you know, I do this like whole thing of like covering my eyes and like stare at it for a few seconds, because you don't want to stare at it for a long period of time, because it does. I don't know what it does, honestly, because I've never gone more than a few seconds, but it does make you feel better throughout the day. It gives you more energy. It has corrected my eyes. So when I'm like laying in bed, I'm not wearing glasses, I can see the TV perfectly. And
really?
Yeah. So I think eventually I'm not going to need glasses anymore, corrective lenses.
Oh my God.
It's progressing that fast. And it only took a few months. And there are people who said they don't even need glasses anymore, because they just, and the best time to do it is like early in the morning, because it's the furthest away from you. You don't want to like look up at noon when the sun's directly over you. I mean, it hurts.
Right. Yeah.
And you can get too much sun too. And also another thing, if I can interject this. I don't use suntan lotion anymore, or sunblock. You don't need it, as long as you don't wear sunglasses, because sunglasses will block your natural production of melanin, and so that's what makes you burn if you wear sunglasses.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Yeah,
you know, that's like a whole nother conspiracy in and of itself.
Yeah. And my wife is all complaining, I need sunglasses, my eyes are burning. And I'm like, look at the sun, just glance at it. And then a few seconds later, she's like, okay, my eyes are a little better now.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So vitamin D is also a thing from the sun, right? We get vitamin D, it can correct our eyesight. They've always told us it'll burn the eyes out of our skull. Don't look at it. Don't even think about looking at it. And to hear you say that, it's like, again, something they'd have to go back and explain why they've lied all this time.
They're detaching us from nature.
Thank you. That's what it is. This whole thing, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, because the more that you fear nature, the more control they have over you. And God is part of that nature. And I think, you know, it's just everything that we grow up learning about. And like, I mean, I was at a time when I was using 100 SPF because I thought the sun was just gonna kill me, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd wear a hat, wear sunglasses, have like all this sunblock on me. Well, I'm going outside, I want to be protected. And these are the people mm-hmm. that get skin cancer, you know.
Well, because the sunscreen is full of toxic shit that reacts with the sun.
Right.
And can cause way worse damage than if you didn't. And I have a lot of avid sunblock and sunscreen wears in my life. And I don't dare try to explain it to them, because it'll be like one of those deer in headlights kind of thing. Because the sunblock is really in right now. The sunscreen is like, they put it in makeup. You know, you put it on top of your makeup. They have it in sprays for women. Like, don't worry about messing your makeup. We have it in this spray thing. You can just, you know. So it's like, to try to explain the chemical reaction on your skin from the sunscreen is what's causing you damage.
Right.
And then if you don't wear it and you got your sunglasses on and you're sitting by the pool and you get a sunburn, you're like, oh, see, bitch, I told you I needed my sunscreen. There's so much that goes into that, though, to try to explain what's going on.
What you're blocking is the vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting that, you're blocking your body from getting that healthy nutrient that you need. I mean, it's just like plants. I mean, how do they survive? I mean, they survive on water and sun. You know, so
yeah. And that's why people who live in Alaska, when it's like that 30 days or whatever, where the sun doesn't come out, they have like tanning beds and stuff, because you have to get some type of, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They call it like seasonal depression or something like that. But just going in the tanning bed for like 30 minutes a day helps them like get through never not seeing the sun or whatever it is. But speaking of that, how would we explain the 30 days of night, not to quote the movie, but yeah.
Well, the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of, was it Capricorn? I don't remember the furthest point of the sun is somewhere in Ohio, and that's the furthest it goes. And then the furthest it goes down is like Queensland, Australia. So that's the furthest that the sun will travel in a circle around the Earth. And so when you're at the furthest point, that's the furthest away from like Alaska. So you're not going to have any sunlight at all. So for 30 days before it starts to retract and go back towards the Tropic of Cancer, I might be misquoting. Mm-hmm. You're really not going to see anything. So like when they say that the sun dies and then is reborn, which is like the whole Jesus thing, you know, Jesus died on the 22nd
or 20th.
Yeah. And so he's reborn he's born on the 25th. That just means that's when the sun is going back towards this area. And that's the ultimate darkness for anyone who's living, you know, towards the center of the where we live.
And so the sun is moving around us.
Yeah.
In our dome.
Right.
Which is another thing I think I wanted to make sure I pointed out is like if we're going flat Earth and we're not moving, that would mean the sun is actually in a rotation around our dome. Like the Truman Show, people. This yes. is exactly like the Truman Show. And also, I feel like that's what they were trying to show us in Lost. And mm-hmm. that's what they were trying to show us in like the new Kong movie, where, yes. you know, Kong is in this contained environment, but there's birds, there's waterfalls, it looks like it's a beautiful sky. And then all he does is like throw a spear into the sky and it just like shatters. It gets all like pixelated. And then you realize, oh my God, he's mm-hmm. in like a container,
right?
A big dome. And that's essentially what we are in. It just makes a ton of sense why they would, like their sixth sense of humor, give us movies like that, showing us how realistic it can feel.
But they also try to confuse us too.
By
going inside the Earth and like, oh, this is the hollow Earth theory, you know, and then they just pile on theory after theory and just to confuse you, but while they throw the truth in there at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really hard. Out of all the conspiracy theories, I can get someone to believe there's a Bigfoot as long as that Bigfoot is on a globe Earth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very, very hard to convince people because there's no way that we can go up outside of the firmament and look back down and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh my God, this whole time they were right, it's flat. Like, until we get that capability, there's no way that we can take a picture of it and say like, look, I told you so. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's really hard.
Yeah, I've watched every rocket launch for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, and they never have like one camera just on the end of whatever rocket they're on and just showing exactly everything. They always pan to a different camera. So it throws you off. And or they just have like, they'll show it off, the rocket launch in a distance and like, oh, the Falcon 9 is like now in orbit. And it's like, and then they're talking for a good 30 seconds while they're like, okay, well, we need the right camera angle. And then all of a sudden they're in space and they're about to dock with the space station and it's all black. There's nothing but under it. There's nothing behind it. It's just blackness. And it's always the same images, the same video footage. And so it's like, it doesn't look real at all. It just looks like a Stanley Kubrick film and mm-hmm. on a set. And none of it looks real at all. And then you watch...
Do you think... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Then when you watch footage of people recording it, it just looks like an arch. You know, just like the Disney... you know, they show the shooting star going over the Disney castle. It's exactly what they do.
Do you think, like Stanley Kubrick, faking the moon landing, all these things, like you said, the footage just looks completely like preposterous. They've made all these space movies and like Prometheus and Covenant, like all these movies where we're in deep space and like you have to go into hypersleep to like get to these other planets, and it's so fantastical.
Yeah.
And they do this to, like you said, when you were a little kid, like you wanted to be like an astronaut basically, and you wanted to be that guy that like got to see this. So it almost like encourages kids and even adults to believe like this fantastical idea that we can shoot off into deep space and find new planets with all, and we've never even been off our planet.
Right.
Like that's got to be one of the biggest lies of all time.
Well, the universities rely on us to fantasize about this whole space thing and like want to become engineers and want to become pilots and be astronauts, when only a small percentage of people actually get to do it. So this whole fantasy just gets people just to enroll in college and like go for it. And so, I mean, it's a $4.4 trillion industry. And the universities alone, I mean, they make billions and trillions of dollars on people just dreaming about this fantasy. And so if the containment and the realistic version of Earth was to be exposed and everybody knew it, it would make our world smaller and not as vast. And then we wouldn't be so nihilistic and so destructive, and the elites wouldn't have as much control over us. That's why it matters. That's why the more we distance ourselves from source and from nature, the more we rely on entertainment and all these outside sources to keep us occupied and like dreaming. If we were grounded and knew about our existence, we would care about what was around us. We would care about people more, and we wouldn't worry about overpopulating the earth. I mean, and we would just naturally take care of things. You know.
Mm-hmm. So where are you at with our whole history being a lie, in the fact that, do you believe in like an Atlantis situation or like a Lemuria situation? Where are you on like maybe that was our origin and it's all been lost to now, it's like myths and legends and made up story? Do you believe that was real?
I'm not exactly sure, to be honest, what Atlantis is. I mean, there's theories that America is really Atlantis. I mean, we're the uncharted territory that was undiscovered for so long. Frank, my dog.
You're good.
But I also think, I don't know this for sure, but the North Pole, I do believe it kind of moves, in that we're on this. The sun also travels, but micro moves. So, and then it's like circular pattern. And if the moon is actually in the map of the Earth, and we only exist in this like small pattern, it takes 21,000 years to travel the full circumference of the moon. And it's still new information. I don't know this for sure. And it sounds crazy to anybody who's like, oh, this is just, you know, conjecture. But, you know, it is possible, because if, you know, 21,000 years ago, this was frozen over because the sun had moved its trajectory around into another area. Maybe this is considered Atlantis, this entire map of the world, this whole realm. So it that's what they call a great year. It takes 21,000 years to circumvent this whole part of the
holy
of the,
shit.
And that's something I could probably send you to, like, kind of.
My
history teacher, I just introduced that whole theory to him yesterday, and he's like, you know, a couple hours in. So he's like, oh, this totally makes sense.
So that would be a good thing for maybe like the listeners to go and look up and kind of like start their journey into the flat earth realm.
Yeah.
But I do also want to say, like, let's say somebody's listening to this right now and they're like, those two idiots talking about the earth being flat. Like, what are a couple of things that just your average Joe, like, they can go out their front door and just look and be like, question this, question that. Like, what are some, like, baby steps to flat earth?
On AccuWeather, you can see, they tell you how high the cloud deck is. And it's only about 800 feet here in Dallas. And the ceiling is only 40,000 feet. So just by looking out into the sky, I mean, this doesn't prove flat earth, but it's just, everything's a lot closer than we think. Like the closest cloud is 800 feet. When I went on the Reunion Tower in 2016, I could see for miles and miles and miles. I mean, it was just flat land, because everywhere else I've lived and been, I mean, there's always been mountains that obstruct my total view. And it was in the middle of summer. It was like July. So there was no moisture in the air at all. So you could see for literally hundreds of miles. And on a globe model, we're not supposed to see that far. And just a couple of months ago, my group, I belong to a group called Dallas Fort Worth True Earthers. We did a little experiment, and we sat on the shore of a lake. And then our friends went to the other side, which was 6.64 miles. And at that point, it actually had a light, and then we were able to see it. They flickered the light, and we could see it from that far. On a globe model, they should have been behind 10 feet of curvature, and we wouldn't have been able to see them at all. So
that is a beautiful point you're making, because if you ask someone about the curvature, they'll say that's where the boats, like, you can't see them anymore when they sail off into the horizon. And mm-hmm. what the flat earth shows is all you need is a pair of binoculars because yeah. your eyes just can't see that far.
Yeah.
So am I right about that?
Right. And our friend, he had a camera, a camera that was a very powerful camera that you could see the flash. We couldn't exactly see that far because it was getting kind of dark, but you could see the flash. And so that solidified that the curvature is not real. And if the bridge wasn't in the way, we could probably see even further. You know, we just have limitations. I would like to go out into the desert and the flatlands and just do the same experiment and do it at 30 miles. And, you know, you can from on the other side of Chicago, I mean, if the humidity is at zero and then you're in the middle of summer, you can see across the lake and see other side. There's a video of where the newscaster was saying, oh, what you're seeing here is a mirage, and you could see the skyline of Chicago, but you could see it clearly if the weather conditions are perfect, you know, because that's what limits our view is moisture in the air, because it's dense, and the molecules of water in the air as it rises, it just kind of blocks your view. And that's another reason why we only see the sun for 30 miles is because the moisture density just gets thicker and thicker, and then so the sun just gets smaller and smaller.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So much sense. So another thing I want to touch on is Operation High Jump. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people might be familiar with, like, Admiral Byrd, and he went on this mission. He was going to explore, like, the Antarctica region, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And what he found and came back and reported is like there was this Garden of Eden, like this paradise beyond Antarctica, and that it was like occupied by German Nazis, and they pretty much were like trying to shoot his plane down out of the air. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about what you think lies beyond the ice wall that they're trying to keep us from knowing about?
Well, if there is a barrier, he wouldn't have been able to go that far. Probably 30 miles beyond the actual ice wall where you have to travel 150 feet to get to the edge of the ice wall, and then you can go further. But he had a whole like plane crew that were able to fly. And I think at about 30 miles, they lost contact and they had to rescue that person, which could have been very well had been the barrier and someone ran into it. But I don't know beyond that. I haven't investigated too much. I've only seen like the documentaries on YouTube. It was just Operation High Jump. And you can see that there's just mountainous terrain that goes on for miles and miles and miles. And it looks like you're in Colorado. I mean, it doesn't look that much different. And there's parts of Antarctica where it just looks like a giant ice wall, and it's just a giant shelf that just goes on for hundreds of miles. I mean, if we're surrounded by this whole ice shelf, I mean, that's 60,000 miles in circumference. And it would just take... I mean, I was listening to an episode. I mean, Jernism was interviewing a guy who said he was hired because he is a scientist, and he was hired to investigate to Antarctica. And they told him the real Antarctica. So they had like a whole team, and this was 2 years ago, and we haven't heard from him since. So I don't know if he's just still there, or he's like, you know, he can't speak. And he's worried about being caught by speaking out loud because, you know, nothing's hidden. I mean, you can hide your IP address and they'd still find you.
Oh, my gosh. The real Antarctica.
Yeah. So there's this like whole like military exhibition where they're just investigating what's beyond the ice wall. So
do you think that's playing with fire a little bit? Maybe the ice wall's there to protect us. Like it's meant to be there. There's a reason we have an ice wall. Like,
well, I find it ironic that if you go on Google Earth and you go to there's 3 points on Antarctica, like the continent of Google Earth, and it says Dome 1, Dome 2, and Dome 3. And why would they call it Dome if there wasn't a dome?
That is a good point.
Yeah.
And just looking at the map behind you, even if it's not like 1,000% accurate, I want to try to explain this for the listeners. So if you take Earth and you flatten it out like a pancake, what you and I are talking about is that on the whole line all around Earth is a gigantic ice wall like Antarctica, but it goes all the way around. It's not just like a little chunk that's like off to the side, like Antarctica's here. It literally, it encompasses Earth. And that's what's keeping the dome a dome. It's like, that's the protective barrier. And no one is able to go past the ice wall.
Right.
Just like how they would say, like, if you kept on sailing and sailing and sailing, you'd fall off the planet because, like, that you just drop off. And, like, I do feel like that was also one of those things to try to, like, discourage and scare people from, like, getting close to the ice wall because they'd be like, what the fuck is this? Like, oh my God, it's a dome and we're all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did try to look into it and see if I could charter something and try to go beyond the ice wall. But you have to get permission. Otherwise, once you get to the 60th parallel, you'll be intercepted by whatever naval, whatever part of Antarctica that you're at, that that agency or military will stop you and board your ship and then tell you to turn around. So you have to go to like the French consulate to ask for permission. Do you have to file all this paperwork to tell them that you want to go to Antarctica or if you want to go anywhere outside of the 60th parallel? And back in 1993, there was one person that tried to do that. They had a whole cargo ship. He had like 60,000 gallons of fuel. And his application was denied. And it took 2 years to deny him. And he spent over like $250,000 to do this. So I mean, it's nearly impossible to have an independent charter to be able to do this yourself. Like you can go to Antarctica, and which is 30 miles off the coast of South America. And then, you know, you get there and then they have another excursion where they take you like 5 miles in. And then they have this like post where it says, oh, you're at the South Pole. It's all total bullshit. You know, it's just there for tourists and people who want to believe that they're at the South Pole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that kid who claimed he went down to the South Pole and then came back. And then a week later, he was on the Today Show, and yet his skin didn't look like pure, you know, like black leather. I mean, if you're experiencing below freezing temperatures, I mean, your skin would just look like a leather bag. And mm-hmm. you would look like an old man because you would be so weathered and so stressed. Because you have, in order to survive in that cold of temperatures, you have to eat like 10 to 20,000 calories a day just to survive.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's a lot
so
of food.
Not your average Joe is just going to Antarctica. Like the part that we're allowed to go to as civilians is not what me and you are talking about, like beyond the ice wall. Like you have to have some kind of special clearance or be a part of a special military, like tactical unit.
Right.
With the sole purpose of this is need to know. You never talk about it. It's not disclosed. So when people say like, I've been to Antarctica, it's like, not really. You've been to the part that they allow you to see,
yeah.
You know? So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that is something that comes up a lot is, oh, I've been there. Wasn't, you know, no big deal. I didn't see anything. But that leads me to another question then. What do you think about like Bermuda Triangle? What do you think about like aliens? Do you think this is interdimensional stuff? Because we can still be on a flat earth and be interdimensional, but that doesn't mean like they're coming through the dome, like from other planets, or like where are you on that kind of stuff?
Well, that whole rumor about the Bermuda Triangle just being like the abyss, that is where, you know, when NASA was launching all the rockets from Cape Canaveral, they were launching them into that area. So they called it the Bermuda Triangle. And so it was off limits to everybody because they didn't want the evidence to be seen by just normal people's eyes. And so they made that whole area just totally off limits. And so if you're anywhere near that area, you would be turned around or you get arrested for going any further, because there was like all this rocket debris in the ocean.
Holy shit.
Right.
So do you think maybe they would have actually shot planes down if they went too far into the triangle and just casualties? They didn't care. They would just, you know, sink your.
Well, they would be ordered to turn around or, you know, yeah, turn around basically. And if you didn't, they would shoot you down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I know some flights have never been located that flew through there. So I'm thinking maybe they were given orders to turn around and they didn't, or they proceeded to the route and they shot them down. They're in the rocket graveyard, pretty much. So that is a really great explanation. So where are you on like the aliens and stuff?
You know, I don't necessarily believe in aliens. I used to believe in aliens until all those, you know, UFO shows never proved anything. It's like, oh, you know, what do you think? You know, they would never actually answer any question at all. And then the alien autopsy, it was just a rubber suit alien, you know, theatrical thing. And So all that's, you know, after just years and years and years of never getting a solid answer and just like, oh, this military, here's a view of what they possibly saw. So all that stuff, I mean, it just makes you like wonder, it's like, are they just seeing other human technology? And, you know, a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, I was in Pomona, California, and I was just driving by myself, and I saw these lights, and they were following me, and they weren't budging. And then I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was nothing there. And then I look up, and there was this, like, a pyramid shape of lights, and it was just perfectly following me. And then,
oh, fuck.
And then they followed me for a good 30 seconds to a minute. And then I looked back up, and it just like blinked. In a blink of an eye, it was just gone. And that was my first encounter, and only encounter of like an alien. But I also mm-hmm. think that it was like some kind of drone, you know, because drones can move really fast. They can be closer and yet look far away and huge. So I think since the 30s and 40s, I mean, like the Nazis have always had this like technology. And they, you know, when they first came to America, they really wanted to push space. And so like all these comic books started to come out, all these books and science fiction writers were writing about space and just getting us like in fear of like this possibility of aliens. And so like all these, like, you know, all these writers were just making everybody scared, and all these, like, you know, science fiction stuff was just being popularized. And all of a sudden we're going to space, you know, and all these scientists from Nazi Germany mm-hmm. just started to like really take over the human psyche here, especially in the United States. I mean, that's like a whole other topic, you know, about Tavistock and the University of Frankfurt and all those professors getting embedded into our education system and like taking over Stanford and the University of Pennsylvania and Harvard and Yale. Like, they're all the scientists went there to teach, you know, and kind of brainwash our thinking and then create this whole propaganda.
Yeah, the Germans headed up NASA too.
Yeah.
So it's always, it's exactly what you said. And a lot of people, if you're not familiar with Paperclip, is basically we took all the brilliant, brightest, you know, doctors, scientists, this, that, and the third thing, and we brought them here to mm-hmm. continue their right. research. And they pretty much took over our schools. They gave us NASA. They, you know, propagated this whole moon landing thing. And it really came from Nazi Germany.
Right. Tavistock was originally the war propaganda department in England. And so they worked very closely with German scientists. And so they were kind of like working together. They wanted to start the World War One. And so they originally started all the war propaganda, and it just continued. It never stopped. And it's still here today. I mean, they created the whole 60s movement, the rock and roll. I mean, almost everybody originated from Tavistock. And if they didn't originate from Tavistock, then the CIA was all a part of it too. And, you know, it's just like, in your one of your latest episodes, I mean, you talked about Michelle Phillips. And I mean, I think all of that is all connected, and it all goes back to like the Tavistock Institute and the CIA.
Oh God. Yeah. It was all contrived by the CIA. And you know what, since you brought that up, can you please tell me a little bit about the Michelle Phillips things for the listeners? Because you sent me a picture on Instagram, and I was at work, and I was like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, so, Mikey J, tell me about your experience with Michelle Phillips.
I didn't know her that well. I mean, my wife knew her a lot more than I did, and actually went to her house and like talked to her about her past. And that's how I knew about Mackenzie Phillips and like her family and stuff. But I didn't really like know too deep about her. And then I was invited to give her the Lifetime Achievement Award. And I presented her the award for that at the Gibson Showroom in Hollywood, or Beverly Hills. And so that was like a huge honor to give her that award. And because at that time, I did have an award show where I awarded independent music artists. I mean, that's how I got into this whole field in the first place and how I became a podcaster. But, you know, 2.5 years ago, I decided to change my whole format and talk about what I actually love and wanted to talk about for so long. But I was afraid because I was afraid of what people thought from the music industry. So I you know, I kept my mouth shut for so long. But
yeah, to hell with them. That's what I say, to hell with them. Did you get bad vibes from her ever at any point? Like maybe she was fibbing, maybe she wasn't genuine, any type of vibe like that?
I felt like, you know, when you sense something from someone, that there was something very hidden from the, from the rest of the world. And, you know, when you have that much kind of like darkness in your family and you're tied into like the CIA and all these like ritual killings and stuff, I mean, it affects your whole well-being. And, you know, and she, her career just never really went anywhere after the Mamas and the Papas. And, but, you know, and it's, I never really got to know her personally, but, you know, just meeting her was just, you know, kind of
surreal.
Yeah, surreal.
Because that of the past and like the Mamas and the Papas. Like, I did find it. So did she ever mention like the incestuous stuff like with John Phillips and Mackenzie? Never once. Never.
Oh, no, no.
So, but that should go to show you right there, because you can type into Google, whatever, YouTube, and hear Mackenzie Phillips out of her own mouth talking about this stuff. So obviously Michelle knew what was going on, because Mackenzie had tried to tell them, like, I talked to my stepmom about it, they told me to let it lie. So she was very much so conspiring with John Phillips to keep that whole thing under wraps. And that has to eat at your soul after a while.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did she look real old for her age or anything?
No, she looked pretty good. Like, I mean, she was definitely
all the
older.
Baby blood, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think her lifetime achievement was just surviving all that nonsense, you know, living through that horrific life, part of her life. She just wanted to like move past, but you know, those demons just never go away.
Oh, never. Yeah. And I do want to tell you something just as like a little bonus just for you. I was on the phone with my brother. He wanted to call and debate me about the Laurel Canyon episodes, because he is a tried and true, like, he'll never say, like, he can't admit to himself, like, this stuff is real. So he was like, no, you don't understand. Like, people treated them like they were gods, like, larger than life personas. And these people started to really think that they could do anything because people just worship them. And I was like, no. Like, it goes way deeper than just having like a big ego here. And I explained to him about like Mackenzie Phillips and all this, and it kind of took him aback. And then he was like, all right, well, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. And I was like, yeah, you do that. But so he told me this story about Mackenzie Phillips, and she said she lost her virginity at like 14. Mm-hmm. And it was at a house party that John and Michelle Phillips were holding. And it was like a birthday party for her, but they all stayed up all night partying. There was like the Rolling Stones were there and like all these, you know, real influential people. And then they sent Mackenzie to bed, but they kept partying all night. And she said, I was laying in bed, I was asleep. And then I hear like a knock on my door, and Mick Jagger walks in the room.
What?
And he just got in the bed with me. She said, he took my virginity, said happy birthday, and got up and left and closed the door after him. And she was like, I'll never forget that, because it was like, why are my parents letting this happen to me? Like, I thought I could, you know. And then later on, it was like John Phillips was doing this stuff to her.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine, you know, that's horrifying to me. And then for your dad to end up doing that stuff later. And it's like, you can't even go to Michelle because Michelle's like, she's just let it lie, you know, don't make a fuss. And when you said that, like you had met her, I was just so curious because when stuff like that happens and you're a part of that lifestyle, like sex, drugs, rock and roll, literally, it makes me think, like, how do they get on in day-to-day life with all those secrets inside? You know, it just, yeah. It boggles my mind. Like, where are you on that? Do you think maybe she's just, like, blocked it out? Like, that's her split personality, and now she's, like, turned a new leaf? What do you think?
Well, you know, in order to be, you know, a political figure, to be an actor or like a musician, you have to, there's like a level of nihilism and like just narcissism that you're able to detach what you feel inside from the rest of it. I mean, you just have to have this desire of like being in the forefront of the limelight and like all the attention on me. And so you're able to suppress whatever darkness that you have inside of you much easier than like say me or you or whatever.
Mm-mm.
And because I don't think I could operate the same way. I mean, I've never liked being in front of a camera. It wasn't until COVID happened that I was like able to get in front of a camera because I wasn't in front of anybody. I didn't have like a whole set of people peering over me and like, all right, here's your lines. And you know, I didn't have to be that guy. And so I don't have that, I don't know. I don't have that worry, you know, as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just in my room.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm just looking at you. I mean, you know, all our audience is like an after effect, you know, I don't really.
Right. There is something to say though, about these people that are just larger than life. And when you get to that level, kind of like Marilyn Monroe was larger than life, there are so many things that go on like behind the scenes that you and I will never be privy to. Like we'll never know what it's like to be that huge or like traveling the world or like, you know, I don't want to know either, to be honest with you. And I'm just like you, like I like to stay, you know, in a small, you know, I don't want to be on stage in front of millions of people. Like I couldn't do it. First off, I feel like I look like Jack Sparrow's hag sometimes. I'm like, I just no makeup, hair messed up. Like, I'm just whatever. I'm chilling. I'll do a Zoom call. But to be in the public eye as much as these people have, like all the eyes on you all the time. And just, oh, I love you. I love your music. You guys are the best. Like, you get this bloated ego and who knows like what that can do to somebody if they're already kind of part of this like narcissistic,
mm-hmm.
They're never held accountable for anything. You know, it's weird.
When I was young,
and then top that off with like satanic, whatever. Go ahead.
When I was young and I was in San Diego and my friend invited me to, you know, be a part of his acting class. And I did not want to be on a stage, even though it was just a bunch of actors watching me. And I was like, can I do something else? And they're like, well, you can operate the camera. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll just be behind the camera. So that was my job.
No. Yeah.
I'm
the same way.
In 2012, I had my first award show and it was in Hollywood on the Sunset Strip. And I had about 1200 people show up. I had no idea what to expect. I never really visualized that many people and that I would have to entertain all these people. And so when the cameras were on me, I just had an out-of-body experience. I wasn't there, you know, and because...
Did you mess up your lines?
Oh, yeah, totally. I filled in every spot with other people to be on stage and like say their lines and stuff. And then one guy didn't show up, some comedian, and I had to be him. So I was just like a deer in headlights. I'm like, I couldn't even remember like the winners' names and stuff. And
oh my God.
I felt like such an idiot. But
that's so rough.
I don't want attention like that. Like,
mm-mm.
You know,
no.
I would fantasize like when I was younger, I would pretend I would be like you know, Ryan Seacrest or like a radio mm-hmm. DJ. But that was like the extent of like the attention that I wanted. You know, I never wanted like eyes looking at me and like me being the entertainer. Like I'm just not my personality at all.
No. And I think that might be, and I hate to like repeat myself, but a Sagittarius thing, because I'm okay with doing this and talking to you or talking to other people and making friends. Making friends is not an issue for me. I like meeting new people. I don't yeah. want to meet 1,200 new people all staring at me like that's yeah. too much. I would rather just have it like a radio show I could do 100%, you know, just being on the microphone, not worried about like actually being a comedian, hoping my jokes are funny, looking at all these people looking up at me and like, say something funny, bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that couldn't
make
be
me.
Yeah. The pressure and the demand is too yeah. much. But it is now time for our honorary question. Mikey J, what is your favorite scary movie?
It took me a while to think of it because you always ask all your guests. And the only movie that really has like captured me and like has, it's all, no movie has ever surpassed it. And it's a movie by Dario, I can't remember his name, but the movie's called Suspiria. It was made by an Italian filmmaker, and it came out in 1977. And the reason why I love it so much, because the colors are so vibrant, the cinematography is just superb, and every turn is like they just like embellish every scene, and so it doesn't look natural, but it looks so highlighted. Even like the blood is like super mm-hmm. bright, and like the death scenes are just like, oh, you can't ever forget them. There's just like imprinted in my brain, and I've never been able to forget it. And for the longest time, I couldn't remember the name of the movie because it was so weird. And
I couldn't remember it either. You yeah. sent it to me, and instead of just hitting the link, I went back like at work the next day, and I was like, I think it was called like Spirulina or something like yeah. that. And I was trying to find it, and like all these like health food things kept Spirulina. And I was like, okay, this is wrong. This is not. So yeah. But you know what I would compare it to? Like the visuals. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen Grand Budapest Hotel?
I feel like I have, but I don't recall.
Okay, that's your homework. It's not a scary movie, but it's, I know you'll love it and you'll appreciate it because it's a masterpiece. It is a work of art. The colors pop out of your screen. The acting is superb. The story, the plot, everything about it is like, chef's kiss. Love that movie. You will love it too. But I did, when I was watching it, like what you said, it's so bright. The colors are just like vibrating off the screen, and it's just like Grand Budapest Hotel. And I was like, oh my God, I've never seen this, first off. Second off, not a lot of people come with an original answer like that, because they'll be like, you know, always with
the obvious,
you know,
ones.
Yeah, the yeah. obvious one. John the Carpenter Exorcist. Movies yeah. or Exorcist. Yeah. So I was taken off guard first, because I was like, wait a second, I've not seen this one. Let me check it out. I didn't get to finish it yet, because I've kind of been like watching it as I'm like working and going through. But I think I have like 30 minutes of it left. So don't spoil the ending.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, you're in for a treat.
Don't spoil the ending. But I know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes just the visuals like that, it's like you said, it'll stay with you because it sets itself apart from like all those cookie cutter like horror movies, like right. they're, oh yeah, the girl's taking her top off, as soon as somebody gets naked they get murdered. That's rule number one in horror movies, like you get naked, you're dying.
Yeah,
period. And so you can almost like, they're so predictable for me now that there's no real,
you're desensitized, you mm-hmm. know. So that's why this movie has such an impression, that it's unlike anything I've ever seen. Like mm-hmm. I, like one of the first movies that I ever watched was The Evil Dead. And
oh, I love Evil Dead.
And it scared the crap out of me. But when I watched it as an adult, I was like, why was this scary? It's like comical.
It is now. I'll give you that. Yeah. It is now. But I watched it with my mom when I was probably in like sixth grade. And when she popped her head up out of that
hatch
in the floor and just started laughing that.
Yeah.
So petrified. I was like, oh God, no. The same thing happened to me though when I watched The Body Snatchers for the first time as a kid. Like, I could watch it now, no problem. Like, it's not, but back then as a kid.
Yeah, even when you're 8 years old, it's scary as shit.
Oh my God. Yeah. And it was like from the 70s or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, this is a whole new level of Body Snatchers was a really iconic one for me. But if we're talking horror movies, one that I've seen recently is Black Phone. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't. Like, you know, movies scare me the older I get.
Okay. Yeah. This one you can, I promise you can handle it.
Uh-huh.
It's more of like a kidnap, abduct, like the kid's locked in a basement kind of thing. There's not a lot of jump scares or anything like that, but I feel like you'd appreciate it. And it's actually Stephen King's son. So.
Oh.
Yeah. I think you would like that. You would like that. And
I did like it.
Yeah, so it's got like that vibe of like being scary, but also telling like a really fantastic story at the same time. Because I get almost bored of like the slash them, cut them up, like slice and dice. Like I get a little sick of that. I almost would rather watch like a demon movie or like a ghost or like something like suspenseful where you don't really know what's going on than it to be like a psychopath with a knife running around and like. Are you more of like a Texas Chainsaw guy or are you kind of like me, like the ghosty? Like,
no,
what?
I don't see people getting cut up and torn apart.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those two movies I would just recommend for you, like tonight after we get done. Maybe you can convince your wife because it's not scary. It's actually a comedy. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
I own it on DVD and I don't even have a DVD player, but I'll never throw it away because I just love that movie so much. Like maybe it'll be valuable one day. It's got the guy who played Voldemort in it.
Oh, really?
And Bill Murray and Jude Law. And I mean, Jeff Goldblum. Oh, God. It's a cinematic delight.
Now it's starting to ring a bell. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I remember the
You trailers. Definitely need to see it. Definitely. Are you even a horror movie fan or you just have dabbled?
I dabble. Yeah, I'm not someone who like seeks it out. Oh, well, I can't wait for this movie. No, I'm not that person.
What about your wife? She's a kind of like comedy.
She's the same way. Like she's really the one that got me out of like watching like scary movies, but you know, as I get older and like start to appreciate life and especially since Flat Earth, I don't like the hack 'em up movies anymore. You know,
no, I don't either.
I like suspense. Like we watched It at the theater and that was pretty, you know, that was pretty brave of us.
Yeah. Part two was on fire. I got to say part two really,
that was dark. It was darker. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. It was way darker. And, I did like the kid from Stranger Things. I do like him. I guess he's a brunette, like the main kid in Stranger Things. I don't know his name.
I don't know his name either. I know who you're talking
about. But he was actually in the remake of Ghostbusters, this new one that's come out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I would say it was a remake or it's like a sequel in a way, but they just called it Ghostbusters and it had him in it and it had, you know, the original Dan Aykroyd and the black guy, I forget his name. And then it had the secretary that picks up the phone is like, Ghostbusters, what do you want? That she's in it. And it's really, really cool. And actually Paul Rudd is in it too. And I got to say, that one was so fun to watch. It wasn't scary at all whatsoever. But if you like the 80s movies, like Ghostbusters, it was actually really, really fun. And I've hated all Ghostbuster remakes, especially the one with the females. I hated it. But this one's really cool, too. So I don't know if you want to watch something like that. That's a cool one that you could probably watch with your wife and she wouldn't freak out or anything like that.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but there is a remake of Suspiria, and Dakota Johnson is in it, and I think it was done in 2017. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm definitely going
to... Oh, yeah. No, I'll have to, but I got to watch the ending of the first one first,
and then I'll probably tell watch me how, what you think of it.
Oh, God. Okay. I just have a feeling it's going to be like twisted. Okay, let's not, because you're going to give something away. I don't want to know. So, Mikey J, tell people where they can listen to KGUP Presents and a little bit about, you know, Instagram, stuff like that.
You can find me on YouTube for now until I get booted off of there. Just look up KGUP Presents. I think the URL is KGUP FM Emerge Radio because it started out as a radio station. The radio station is still alive. I mean, you can listen to it now. It's KGUP1065.com, 1065.com. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm a terrible, social media poster, but it's KGUPFM, also Twitter, KGUPFM. Yeah. And if you're on Rockfin, I'm also on there. I won't, none of my stuff will get banned as long as I don't talk about the Holocaust.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I hope we've convinced some people to look into the flat earth. So that's good. Thank you so much, Mikey. And
No one's invited me to come on just to talk about flat earth. This is the most flat earth I've ever spoken. And it kind of tested my own knowledge about what I know. Because I still feel like I'm still learning, that I'm still don't know all the answers because there's so much to investigate. I mean, there's so many things that I didn't even touch on. But if you're interested, I mean, you should definitely research and look up my videos. I mean, I have some amazing guests that know way more than I do. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so you have a couple episodes on Apple as well. People can go if they don't want to do YouTube or whatever. They can just go on Apple. Are you on Spotify?
I'm on, I think I'm up to 20 different podcast platforms.
Okay, good. So they can just search you out and listen to in podcast.
The bulk of my audience are all podcast listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So thank you again for coming on. And to my listeners, we will see you on the next one. The earth is flat. Bro, you need to check your facts. I got high up through the roof, and I landed on the moon. The moon flat too. In reality, everything is just in 2D, like a video game from 1983. I'm side scrolling up and down the street while y'all sleep. Call me B.O.B. cause I don't see the curve. Messing up my vibe, yeah, you got a lot of nerve. Read a book, nah, I don't wanna learn. Read a book, nah, I don't wanna learn. They say that we are cake. For me and my homies, we don't say it, we just spray it. I'ma leave it, namaste. Do your research, how much I gotta say it. Earth is flat. Bro, you need to check your facts. I got high up through the roof. I landed on the moon. The moon flat too. In reality, everything is just in 2D, like a video game from 1983. I'm side scrolling up and down the street while y'all sleep. Y'all sleep. Y'all sleep. Y'all sleep.